Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, when you're out traveling, it is very helpful to know where the middle point is of the destination that you're going. And you can see how that's helpful. If it's a long travel, you can break it up into segments and know, my goodness, I've reached the halfway point. That's good to know. Or if you're meeting someone at the end of the destination, it's kind of nice to know that middle point so that you can pull off on the side of the road and wait to meet them. It's really, really helpful if there's a restaurant or a gas station that you can point to. That's the midpoint. That's where we're going to meet. Now, luckily, there's a website that figures this all out. Maybe you knew this. It's called whatshalfway.com. You put in where you're from or where you are, and you put in the destination that you're going to, and it spits out an answer of where you should stop to meet someone halfway. So I put in a couple destinations. I'm gonna try out, see how well you do. If you're leaving from Peace Lutheran, and you're meeting halfway someone from Newport, what's the halfway point? Does anyone know? Guesses? According to whatshalfway.com, the answer is Eddyville. My wife knows. Are there any good restaurants in Eddyville?
No?
Oh, all right. All right, how about this one? How about from Peace Lutheran Church up to Portland? Does anyone know where the halfway point for Peace Lutheran Church to Portland? Salem's the right answer. But let's get really specific. It's the IHOP restaurant on on Lancaster Drive. I don't know where that is, but that's the answer that the whatshalfway.com says. All right. Maybe you know this. You have a relative that you go and visit, and you just know that halfway point. It's just something you can hold on to. You know, wow, that restaurant, that's where we meet. I can count on it. Ah, that's great. Well, this morning we're taking a look at Jesus entering into the temple, and he's cleansing it out. He's making it a dedicated place for God and God's word and prayer for God. Think of the temple in a new way today. The temple is the middle place, the meeting point between God and his people. The God that's described in the Old Testament, Yahweh, is transcended and high above. Here's some details about his destination and where he lives. His name was so holy, Yahweh, that you couldn't even write it down. So transcendent above his people. And whenever God did show his presence on earth, no one saw him. He was shown with a cloud. That's how people knew that God's presence was close, but no one ever saw God. He was high and transcendent at a point that no one had ever reached. God's people, on the other hand, were just like you and me. Their destination, where they were, was they traveled to the marketplace. They lived with their families. They enjoyed just living a regular day life. And see, the temple is the meeting place, the middle point between God and his people. That's important. And you see how important it is when you take a look at the Old Testament and how serious it is. It all starts in about the 8th, 9th century with Solomon. Solomon builds, David talks about it, Solomon finishes it off, a beautiful temple that's magnificent. That temple is destroyed in about 578 BC. It was so important to have that middle point, the temple, that in 538, a bunch of God's people came back from Babylonia, and they started to build the temple again. The people that did that, the guy's name was Zerubbabel. You can find this in Nehemiah and Ezra in the Old Testament. But guess what happened? That second temple got destroyed again around 175 BC. So another guy comes in and builds a third temple, Herod. Herod's temple, and it was a magnificent building. In fact, it's recorded as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Awesome. See how important it is to have a middle point? That's the way it's described in the Old Testament, a meeting place between God and his people. Special, important. But boy, it's really deflating when you count on a middle spot to meet someone, and then you go to that middle point and you find out it's been destroyed and it's been ruined. Maybe that's happened to you. Many of you know that I grew up in Spokane, Washington. My paternal grandparents lived in Moses Lake, Washington, which is in the middle of the state. It's kind of a strange place, but we made many travels to Moses Lake. But on occasion, we would meet at a middle point. The middle point was a restaurant about 5 miles outside of Ritzville, Washington. Grandparents would come from Moses Lake. Me and my parents and myself, we would meet halfway at that restaurant. And the greatest thing about that restaurant is that it had chocolate cream pie. I counted on that chocolate cream pie and seeing my grandparents. It was very important. Being gone for about 10 years on the East Coast and then in seminary in St. Louis, I came back and I counted on that middle place to be there. That chocolate cream pie, it's got to be there. And shortly after we came back to Peace, when we moved here to Peace, Alicia and I were traveling along the way to Ritzville, and I bragged about it. I said, "This is the best chocolate cream pie you're ever going to have. We got to stop." And so we got to the restaurant. There it was. It was dilapidated, and it was gone. No chocolate cream pie. Man, see, that's a deflating feeling. When you have a middle point that you have just grown up and idolized, and that's where you want to be, and it's no longer there. Man, it hurts to not know that there's chocolate cream pie at that restaurant. Friends, that's the feeling God's people had, not having a temple. The temple was very central to their relationship with God. Again, Solomon built it around the 8th century. It's destroyed. It was a beautiful temple. The wood came from Lebanon, the cypress of Lebanon, the Psalms tell us. It's destroyed. Then it's rebuilt. Then it's destroyed again. The God's people are deflated. They don't know what to do. Then they build it again. And it's destroyed finally a third time in 66 AD. And friends, there's no temple right now. There's no temple to go to in the world. It's destroyed. There's no place to go to have sacrifices. It doesn't exist. What a deflating feeling to not have that middle point. Here's the lesson of the temple. In John's gospel, I'm getting to a point, I promise. Here's the lesson. We're good at building things, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have skills and abilities. We can harvest supplies. God's people harvest those supplies from Lebanon, brought them in, those beautiful cypress and built. It was amazing. We have abilities. We have wonderful buildings today, like the Empire State Building. It's thought that Herod's temple in Jerusalem changed the topography of the whole city and took up 35 football fields, present-day football fields. That is amazing. We have technologies today to build buildings. It's all wonderful. But as good as we are at building things, the lesson of the temple teaches us this. As good as we are as building things, we are just as good at destroying things, aren't we? It's world history. That's the message of the temple. We destroy things. Not so good. So Jesus walks into the temple and says these words, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is saying that he is going to, that there's going to be a whole new plan, not a temple built by hands, but you see, what Jesus is talking about is a temple built by God that will be a permanent meeting place that no one can take away, that everyone can go to, that they can always count on and go to and feel God's presence. Jesus was, of course, talking about Himself. And this middle point that Jesus was talking about was a place, let me backtrack just a little bit. John's gospel tells us, John's gospel can be split up into seven sections. It's an important detail. In each of those sections, there's a little word that can be used. It's called sign. Jesus used signs. And each sign is giving more information about who Jesus is and what he does. So here are the signs. The first sign is the wedding at Cana. That word is used in John chapter 2. The second sign, Jesus heals a royal official's son. The third sign is when Jesus, when that word sign is used, it's there for a reason. The third sign is when Jesus heals a man at Bethesda. The fourth sign is Jesus healing the 5,000, or Jesus Jesus walking on the water and feeding the 5,000 together. The sixth sign is Jesus healing a paralytic. And then the sixth sign is finally Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. There's no mention of a seventh sign in John's gospel. What is that about? Never would someone have a number six and end right there. That's the number of incompleteness. Here's what John's doing. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the seventh sign of who Jesus is. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up again. What John is telling us is that we have a temple that we can go to, built by God, and not something that we can destroy with our hands, but we can count on it and go to it. And it's a temple that we can reach. You know, one of the sad parts about the old temples, the first, the second, and the third temples, is that many people couldn't reach the temple. It was actually a negative symbol, the temple was. Women could only go to about that line, let's say, and they could go no further. Gentiles could only go to about that line, and they could go no further. Sinners could only go out over here, and they could go no further. Those who couldn't afford the sacrifices could not come in and have their sins forgiven because they didn't have enough money. In other words, stay away, sinners. Your temple, Jesus Christ, can always be reached. That's huge. Women, Gentiles, the poor, if you have sinned in your past, you can always reach. If there's guilt, you can always reach Jesus, the temple. And it's not just a temple here in this building. It has nothing to do with a building. You can go to that temple and reach it when you go to your school, your workplace, or when you go to bed and call out his name. And you can reach it here in this building, not because it's a building, but because of his word is spoken and the sacraments are received by his people. You have a temple you can hold on to. The story of the Bible is really this. It's about a bunch of middle points. God wanting to make sure that there's a middle point that we can go to and meet him. That first middle point, destroyed. 587. The second middle point, destroyed. 175 BC. It's just historical evidence. The third temple, the mightiest, one of the ancient wonders of the world, amazing place, destroyed forever in 66 AD. And so God took the initiative and sent his son to be our temple that we can go to. You know, when you have a middle place that you love and you adore that place, you brag about it. And I do, as I did with Alicia, going to that place right outside Ritzville. That'll be the best chocolate cream pie you'll ever have. You got to go there. Friends, let's brag about Jesus. He's the best middle point any person can go to. And let's go as often as we can and receive his gifts. Look for Jesus, not here, just here in the church, but wherever you go, in prayer, in conversation, in moments of trouble, he's there. God is reachable because of the temple he's given us in Jesus. Amen.